2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to preach this morning the message I've entitled, What is in your vessel? What is in your vessel? When you found it, please stand for reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 this morning, I want to read in verses 1 through 7, but we'll look at most of the chapter today, and if the title of the thought is, What is in your vessel? And hope that we'd be a blessing and help to you this morning. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's our text verse this morning. Our thought would be from this verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Father, today we thank you today for this word and for the scripture this morning. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help as I preach what I believe that you laid upon my heart this week to be a great help, Lord, to your people, to be an encouragement to them, Father. Lord, may the word of God be presented with sound doctrine and truth, to strengthen the hearts and the beliefs, Lord. Lord, I pray that most of all, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored and lifted up, Father. And Lord, may I be out of the way and just only be a vessel that you can use. Now, Lord, today, I would pray that you would save those, Lord, who need to be saved today. Maybe perhaps there be one in our church today that's not trusted in Christ as their Savior. May they respond, Lord, today and place their faith in you. Perhaps today in our church, Lord, that there are those who are backslidden, who are far, although they're here, they're far from you in their hearts. Lord, may today they be encouraged, Father, and drawn closer to you. Now, Lord, we'll give you all the honor and glory for what takes place. We ask now in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't have any funny jokes to lead off with today, and so I'll just get right into the preaching, and most of my jokes aren't really very funny anyway. And those that know Pastor Mace, who helped train me, realize he also trained me in telling jokes, and he was never a really good joke teller either. And so we'll just get right into the message today. I want to continue today. Last Sunday, I spent some time and gave a handout on eternal security and gave you lots of scripture on why a Christian, once a person is saved, why they're always saved, that you cannot lose your salvation. And so we looked at a lot of verses, but we left a lot of verses out. Today I want to continue down that same thought, and I want to talk to you about eternal security, but what it means to the believer, and use an object lesson for that, and then encourage you how to encourage yourself in the Lord. It'll all tie together in a moment here, you'll see that. But I want to continue the thought about eternal security, that as a believer, once you've received Christ as your Savior, once saved, always saved. And we'll look at that today as we go down through these verses. And so let's just take a look at these verses today. I want you to notice as Paul here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's speaking them about the gospel and the effects of the gospel and the serving the Lord. And I want you to notice with me in verse number 1 and 2, notice with me the honest handling of the gospel. Paul said this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, that's the gospel, the preaching ministry, the gospel ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We find here that Paul says that he was commissioned from Christ to preach the gospel. He was commissioned to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the disciples of Christ are commissioned. And today, I want to remind you as believers that you and I are also commissioned with the gospel message. We are commissioned as the disciples of Christ to go into all the world, and we're to be the light of the world. We're to be preaching to all, everyone, everybody around us, and tell them about Jesus Christ, the Savior, who died upon Calvary for the sins of all man, and who died for them and rose again, and if they would trust in Him as their Savior, that they too could have a home in heaven, have their sins forgiven. The gospel story. Paul was commissioned with that, and we are as well commissioned to teach and preach to every creature. And the disciples and the apostles were faithful in this responsibility. They said that we faint not. They were faithful in that. And today I want to call upon you as well as Christians to be faithful in the gospel ministry. We find that what equipped them was the mercy of God. It says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. This is a ton of a twofold application. First of all, they're saying, because we've been saved, because God saved us from our sins and changed our lives, we don't faint because we also want God to save other people. But also the mercy of God held back from them what they deserved and equipped them on a day-by-day basis to preach the gospel. And so we just remember as Christians, as God's people, that as God has saved us from our sins, He too wants to save us from their sins. And in preaching and living for Christ, we should not faint because we've been saved and our life's been changed. And we also, God gives us the mercy to continue in that gospel and the preaching. He then says in verse number 2, he says this, that they have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here this says that as they handle the word of God honestly, they said they renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What does that mean? That means the apostles here and the disciples, as they preach Christ, they did not use the gospel for personal gain or prosperity. They handled it honestly. They didn't walk in craftiness. They didn't disguise their work with sincerity, with hopes of their own benefit and personal gain. They didn't handle the word of God deceitfully. They didn't twist the scriptures for their own benefit, their own prosperity, their own personal gain. We live in a day and age where oftentimes the gospel is used, the word of God is used to target people for people's own personal gain and prosperity. I would encourage you, if you like to watch TV evangelists, not to send them jokers a penny. All right? This idea, if you plant seed money, if you give, and these guys that say, you know, the Lord has touched me, the Lord has spoken to me and said, if you just give $1,000 of seed money to my ministry, He'll bless you. That guy's a joker. And he's using the word of God. He's twisting the scriptures. He's using the word of God for his own personal gain. He's being crafty in the word of God. And so when a preacher uses God's word for their own personal benefit and own personal gain, they're walking dishonestly. But Paul said this, because of the great responsibility God has given to me, because of other people's lives are in danger, we handle God's word carefully, responsibly. We don't use it for our own personal gain or prosperity. In fact, Paul said this about his ministry. He said, I'll gladly spend to be spent for you. Paul said, it doesn't bother me to cost me something to serve God, but I'm not going to use God's word to benefit me in prosperity. I want to remind us that God does promise to bless us, provide for our needs, never leave us nor forsake us, but there's not a promise in God's word that you can find that God says that He'll make you rich in this world's possessions. By the way, oftentimes this world's possessions is a trouble to the heir of our faith. And so we find that they handle the Word of God honestly. I want you to notice number 2 in the introduction is this, the evil enemy of the gospel. Verse number 3, the Word of God says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse number 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. We find the evil enemy of the gospel is the God of this world. We call him Satan or the devil. There is all around us a battle that takes place. A battle that we cannot see. It's a spiritual battle between the God and between the devil. And we find that the devil hates the things of God. And he's the God of this world right now. You say, why do bad things happen in this world? Because the world has an evil God. Why do things happen? And why would God? Because the God of the God of this world is an evil God. He's called Satan, and his objective is to blind the minds of people to the gospel of Christ. Now watch this. I want you to see this. We find that the enemy, the devil, cannot dim or extinguish the light of the gospel. Amen. He has no power over the gospel to dim the light of the gospel. He cannot dim it. He cannot extinguish it. He cannot lower the intensity of the light of the gospel. He has no power of it. So what does he do? He blinds the minds of people to the gospel. He cannot control, he cannot extinguish the gospel, the light of the Lord. He can't extinguish that light. So he tries to blind the minds of people, and he has blinded the minds of millions today in our country. It's amazing. Today, as you talk to people, they have no desire for the Lord, no desire for the gospel, and they are content in their life, content in their sins, content to die and go to hell. And they say, this preacher, we don't need the gospel. We are okay. Where does that come from? That blindness, that hardness to the Word of God, it comes from a godless world. A spiritual battle takes place in the hearts of people, and the devil blinds the minds of people so they'll not receive the gospel. But he can't dim the light. So he blinds the minds. So we find that Paul says this, verse number 5, for we preach on ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So what is our role as Christians? We can't change the fact the devil does his job. The devil is going to do his job to blind the minds of people all around us. And so our job as Christians is, Paul said, we don't preach ourselves because we can't help anybody. So we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen and coming again. And that's the role of people today in the church house, is to simply preach the gospel. They preach that the world's gone crazy and the minds of people are blinded to the gospel. Keep preaching. Keep passing out tracts. Keep inviting folks to church. Now keep being a light to the world. So that's our role. God's role is to take the gospel and turn the hearts of people. Verse number 4, again it says, verse number 5 says, for God who commended the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Hey, that's God's job. We preach the gospel and God pierces the darkness. God opens the hearts and the minds of people to receive the word of God. So there's a great, I want you to recognize this one. A great battle takes place, a spiritual battle between God and the devil. The devil is constantly trying to blind the minds of people to the Word of God. And God pierces that darkness. Thank God He pierced the darkness of your heart. And open the eyes of your mind to receive the gospel. I want you to notice in verse number 4, the Bible calls it a glorious gospel of Christ. I want to spend some time this morning thinking about that glorious gospel. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning about the gospel of Christ. I'm going to give you number 1 is the placement of salvation. This can deal with eternal security. Number 2, I'm going to deal with the power of salvation. And then number 3, I want to talk to you just for a short time about the replenishment in salvation. So let's look at those 3 things this morning from the scripture today. Number 1 is the placement of salvation. I don't often do this. I'm not a master at it. There are some preachers who are master at object lessons. They might use objects. They might use PowerPoints. They might use paintings and chalk talk. I am not equipped in any of those things. If I use chalk talk, it would be a chalk mess. All right? And so, but every now and then, there is an objective lesson that I've either learned or thought of. And so I want to talk to you today about the placement of salvation. I want you to see the truth of the doctrine of eternal security. Let's look at this in order. I got some objects in here. Number 1 is I got this. My wife brought me, I said, I need a man. So she brought me this man. He's an army man. And so today we were in the Lord's army, but here he is. And here's this man. This man, first of all, I want you to realize this man, it represents our spiritual man before we were saved. This man is dead. So let's all look there for a moment, have a moment of silence because he's dead. All right. Take your Bibles. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians. We'll come back here in a moment. But let's take a little trip. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This man has got a problem. He is dead. Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says this. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Before salvation, there was a part of you that was dead. Your spiritual man was dead. Oblivious to things of God. Dead. And a dead man does nothing. Look at verse number 5 of the same chapter. Even when we were dead in sins. And so before a person gets saved, receive Christ as Savior, God says they're in a spiritual state, that their spiritual state is dead, and they're dead in their sins. They're under the bondage of sin, the curse of the law. And they can't do anything to save themselves. Because a dead man can't save themselves. A dead man, you're never going to find a dead man performing self-CPR. You're never going to find a dead man putting the paddles on his chest and saying, what do they say? Clear! Yeah, won't do that. A dead man needs help. So the Bible says that when a person receives Christ their Savior, their spiritual that was dead now is quick and is brought to life. Look at verse number 5 again. It says, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, may sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse number 1 again says, and you hath he quickened. And so now this man has been made alive. So there he is. He's alive. I don't know if he'll stand or not. Where did you buy this from? The dollar store? She bought me the cheapest guy possible. This is probably what she thinks of me. I'm the cheapest guy possible. I'm a cheap dude. She's like, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on a dude that doesn't do anything. And I get that. But this guy now has been made alive. Okay, he's honest. He's alive. But now watch. Look at the next step that takes place. Now watch. This is exciting. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. So he's been made alive. He once was dead. Now he's alive. He once was lost. Now he's found. He was a sinner. Now he's been saved by the grace of God. His sins have been washed away. He's on his way to heaven, but it doesn't stop there. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed in the day of redemption. So we have then, this guy who's been saved now, he gets sealed until the day of redemption. So he gets placed, the Holy Spirit of God seals him. And I know this is just poor object lessons, and because the Spirit of God does a better job than Ziploc. But thank God for Ziploc. It's better than the old bags we used to have as kids growing up that never really sealed. But now this guy is placed in the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God seals him. So now he is sealed, and there's nothing that can get in there. He is sealed until the day of redemption. So his salvation is eternally secure. And so he's secure. He's been sealed, and he's not going to be unsealed until Christ comes again. Boy, it doesn't stop there. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians and come back with me to John chapter 14. Jesus Christ, now he's speaking to the disciples. He's going to comfort them with the truth of salvation and eternal security. In John chapter 14, we read verse number 16. Jesus Christ now is going to go away. He's going to die for us, die for the sins of mankind. He's going to rise from the dead. He's going to ascend into heaven. But now he's going to encourage the disciples with this truth of eternal security. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him now, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, I can't, still this morning, I can't illustrate this, but this man, he's been sealed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is with him, but also he's in him. So this man, he's now been born again. He once was lost, but now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive. He's been saved from his sins. The Spirit of God dwells within him and with him. He's sealed in the day of redemption. Now he is no longer alone. He's no longer dead to sin. Or because of sin. The Spirit of God lives within inside of him. Now the things he used to do, he can't really enjoy anymore. There was a time this man, he might have enjoyed a good stiff drink. I talked to a guy this past week, and he said, preacher, last week I enjoyed floating on the Mississippi on an inner tube, and we had a cooler of beer in the middle of us, and we drank it dry. Had a great time. The problem is he's not saved. And you might be able to do that one time, but when you get born again and sort of God lives inside of you, you try that, you might be able to do it, but not with a clean conscience. The Spirit of God just begins to prick your heart and say, you ought not do that. The body is temple of God. Praise God. Hey, there might be a time when you used to be able to cuss your wife and curse your wife and children. And now all of a sudden those curse words come out. The Spirit of God pricks your heart. Who is that? Well, that's the preacher. No, that ain't the preacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God. the spirit of godly within. Listen, you might have been a thief at a time or sometime in your life. This is a dirty, rotten, lying thief. But now you try it. Something pricks your heart. Why? The spirit of God is with you and in you. Now watch what he says here, later, verse number 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. Now watch this. Here's a great verse of eternal security. I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The Spirit of God is within us. We've already talked about that. He's in us, and he's with us. But the Bible says that we were also, that we would be in him. So let this represent Jesus Christ. I know it's a poor object lesson, but Jesus Christ said this. When you get born again and get saved, he goes, you get placed in me. So not only now is this spiritual man was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. The Spirit of God lives within him. The Spirit of God is also with him. It seals him until the day of redemption. Christ said this. Not only did that take place, but now you're standing in me. Now watch this. When God sees me, what does he see? The covering of Christ Jesus. When God sees me, he doesn't see my sin and my ungodliness and my unrighteousness. He sees the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And so now I'm covered in Christ's righteousness. Now I have peace with God because my standing is in Christ. I'm saved, and once saved, always saved. But God, Jesus Christ didn't stop there. He said this, not only would he be in me and I in him, but he said this, I am in, verse 20, I am in my Father. All right? So now we put the whole thing, listen, you represent God. Put the whole thing in God. Book of 1 Peter says that we are kept by the power of God. Now, Jesus Christ preached this a little different in John chapter number 10. Look back a few pages, John chapter 10. Look at verse number 27. John 10:27 says this. My sheep hear my voice. Who are the sheep? Those that got saved. Those that belong to him. They hear his voice. All right? And it says this in verse number 27, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So we have the promise of eternal security. Jesus Christ said, I call my sheep, and they respond to me, and they place their faith in me, they follow me, and I give them everlasting life, and they shall never perish. What does never perish mean? Never perish. When? Never, ever. We can't lose the salvation. Look, it says in verse, continue. It says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We find here, Jesus Christ said this, when you got born again, God placed you in my hand. You're placed in my hand, and nobody is able to pluck them out of my hand. He said, the Father, who's greater than me, we're in his hand. And by the way, he says, nobody's going to get in there. There's not anybody living, past or present or future. There's no power, past, present, or future. There's no spiritual power that can rip you out of my Father's hand. You are safe and secure forever. Once saved, always saved. Why? Because when you got born again, that dead part of you that was dead now is made alive in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God is in you and with you. You're still in the redemption. You're in Christ. But that's our standing. We're also kept by the power of God. Now, look back at our text. Here's the exciting part. Back in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what Paul said. Verse number 7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? This treasure. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified, buried, resurrected. When we receive Christ, we see the gospel, we have it in us. This is the result of that. This is the treasure. That's the result of the gospel. What do you say we have it? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So Slim Jim got saved. And all that treasure goes inside of Slim Jim. Inside of Slim Jim, all you can see is his earthen vessel. What's an earthen vessel? It's a piece of weak, frail, fragile vessel. Clay pot. It can get chipped. It can get broken. It's fragile. It needs to be. It can't. Listen. This flesh and blood won't ever inherit heaven. We won't ever get a brand new body. But this side of heaven, We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Now watch this. Now that's point number one, the placement of salvation. Who does God save? God saves sinners.
Amen.
God's not looking for perfect people, because He would never find one. God's looking for perfect people, for perfect vessels. Not one person will ever be saved. God's looking for broken vessels, wounded vessels, hurting vessels, vessels that have been damaged by sin, to redeem them. But we have this treasure in the vessel. Number two, watch this now. Look with me at the power of salvation. The power of salvation. Look at verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Watch this now. We have now the placement of salvation. We've been born again. Spirit of God lives within us and with us. We're sealed in the day of redemption. Our standing is in Christ. We're kept by the power of God. It's all placed where? In earthen vessels. And here's what Paul said. He said, this earthen vessel is weak. It's frail. It's fragile. It can get dirty. It can be kicked around. He said this. In fact, he said, listen, first of all, he said, listen, there's been an excellent change in our life because of God. He said, listen, verse number, 7, it says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, there is an excellent change. When you get born again, there's been an excellent change in your life and wrought by the power of God. Church can't change people, but God can.
Amen.
Social reform cannot change people, but God can.
Amen.
Hey, money will not ever help anybody get any better, but God can. And Paul said this, this treasure is earthen vessels, that the power of God has changed our lives. I once was a sinner, but now I've been born again. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's the power of God. See, the power of God illuminated the believer. The power of God illuminated the blinded heart and mind of the sinner. It's the power of God that redeemed the sinner from hell. It's the power of God that is able to make a fallen man a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's the power of God that's able to redeem man until the day of redemption. The church house is not a witness to the power of men, but the church house is the manifestation of the mighty redeeming power of God. In the church house today, we manifest the power of God in the lives of people who have been changed by the power of God. We're not the power of God.
Come on.
But we're witness to it. Think about today how the power of God has changed your life. How He saved you in your sins. And changed you from... Listen, he said, preacher, you know what? I never drank before I got saved. But you're going to hell. But I was a pretty good person before I got saved. I never did drugs, but you're going to hell.
Come on.
So Christ can take any wretched man, no matter how good he may or may not be, and save them. That's the power of God.
Amen.
And if the church deviates from that message, they lose their power.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm not looking to, listen, just today, I want people to be blessed, but social reform won't change our country. More welfare, more free stuff won't change the heart of men. A good drama teams and music, though they're sometimes can be used the right way, won't change the heart of men. It's the preaching of the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that changes the heart of men. The gospel changes people because the gospel is the power of God. But now watch this. Notice with me the power of God in real life. Our earthen vessel is troubled. But the spiritual man is not distressed.
Amen.
See, the man inside, this earthly man can get down in the mud and the mire, but you open it up and the spiritual man is still clean. Hey, listen, this earthly man the world can kick him around all day long. The devil can kick him around and knock him around, and this earthen vessel can get messed up and tromped on and damaged and bruised and beaten. But on the inside, he's not cast down. He's not cast down. This earthen vessel can be cast down, but he's not destroyed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Perplexed, but not in despair. Paul says, listen, this earthen vessel is weary, and it's road-worn, it's torn, it's been beaten. Hey, there's sin that marks it up. We can take it, we can mark it up with all kinds of marks, but the inside man is still sealed until the day of redemption. That's called eternal security. People say, well, if I sin, I lose my salvation. No, this earthen vessel will get marred and marked. But on the inside, when Christ comes again, the spiritual man is still as sealed as day one. That's the power in salvation. Today, I'm going to tell you something, Christian. You're not living in my power, your power. You're living in the power of God. And so, yeah, this earthen vessel, it might get battered up. Man, you might find this earthen vessel, you might find scars from immorality. You might find stains of drugs and alcohol. Hey, you might find the defeat. You might find the stains of lying and thieving. This might be torn and battered because of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. But there's treasure on the inside that cannot be touched. When they lay this earthen vessel in a grave somewhere, dead. That's what all earthen vessels do. They die. Out comes the inside man. Amen. Who stands in God's presence, clean and righteous, washed with the Lamb. There's something Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, though this earthen vessel gets weary, the inward man stays the same. Watch what it says here. So we have the power of salvation. Notice with me now, Christian. I want you to notice with me the replenishment in salvation. Watch verse number 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So not only is there an eternal promise that this inward man is saved and secure till heaven. It's not going to change. But he's saying this. He says, this outward man every day is perishing. This week my wife turns older. Her outward man is perishing. Now she still looks mighty fine to me, but that's where our body is not what it used to be. All right? Our man is perishing. Sin sometimes does that. Life does that. We age. We grow disabled. We can't do what we used to do. Not as strong as we used to be. We're frail. But Paul said this, the inward man is renewed day by day. Think about this for a moment. I'm almost done now. I'm coming down to the pike here, coming down to the landing. Think about that. How does this outward man that you and I see perish day by day, gets older, gets in trouble, gets involved in sin, gets marked up, gets knocked around, gets beat up. Sometimes the devil can hammer on it, and but we come in just all messed up and squished and hammered. But the inward man on the inside is getting renewed day by day. Stronger and stronger every day. How does that take place? Let me give you a couple thoughts. How do we continue and move forward, though the outward man is perishing because of life, because of the curse of sin? How does the inward man get renewed day by day? Hey, some of you that have been saved just recently, how do you grow as a Christian and get stronger day by day and become closer to the Lord? Look at verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Let me give you a few thoughts from these next few verses. Our focus isn't on the affliction, but on the destination. Paul said this, the outward man is perishing because we face affliction every day. But it is a light affliction. It's but for a moment, because we're on our way to heaven. Amen. See, here's why Christians sometimes get discouraged. Our focus gets on our affliction and on our destination. We've got to turn that around. Our focus must be on our destination, not the affliction. Hey, preacher, you know, I'm troubled. I'm going through some hard things in my life. Don't focus on the affliction. Focus on the destination. Paul said, the affliction I'm facing now is a light affliction. Compared to what Christ went through, it's light. I didn't die for my own sins. I didn't have to go to hell for my own sins. Jesus Christ washed my sins away. And so any affliction I face now inside of heaven is a light affliction. I'm not going to hell. Hey, hell is a big affliction. But the affliction I have right now is light. And it's but for a moment. But one day I'll see Christ face to face. And I'll see Him and I'll be like Him. And I'll be rewarded for serving Him. Hey, Christian, today, don't focus on the affliction. Focus on the destination. By the way, if you're so worldly-minded, you'll miss this. If you're so caught up in the worldly things, you'll not only be perished day by day, but your spiritual man will run out of spiritual power. Does that make sense to you? It will not be renewed day by day. And so Paul says here that his focus is on the affliction, but on the destination. He said it's our affliction that's working for us to make us more like Christ. Why do things happen to Christian people? Because God has taken as a potter to the clay, molding you to be more like Christ Jesus. He's taking a hammer and a chisel and knocking things off you. He's putting you in the furnace of fire to remove the dross from you. And so he said, this affliction is light. It's only for a moment. I'm on my way to heaven. But God is doing this so I can be more like Christ Jesus. He wants this outward man that perishes day by day. He wants this man to look more like Jesus. Look at verse number 18. Well, we look not on the things which are seen, the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our focus isn't on the temporal man, but on the eternal man. To focus on the earthly man isn't reasonable. To make earthly man happy isn't reasonable. Well, this earthly man that you see, that I see, this earthen vessel is temporary. This man will never be happy. Never satisfied. This man will always face the lust of the flesh. This man is temporal. He's going to die one day. So our focus on this man is unreasonable. To live our life for this man is unreasonable. Because this man will not, perishes day by day. This man will not go to heaven. This earthly man cannot be satisfied. This earthly man craves the sin of the world. So to serve this man is unreasonable. To focus on this man is unreasonable. So what do I focus on? This man. This man's eternal. I gotta live my life not for the flesh, to walk in the flesh, but live my life to walk in the Spirit. That's reasonable. If this is temporal, why do we want to live for this guy? This is eternal. Live for the spiritual man. Walk in the Spirit of God. You see, it's more important that in your life that you have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance. Where does that come from? Focusing on this spiritual man. Walk in the Spirit of God. And so, how does this man, though the outward man is perishing day by day, but the inner man is being renewed, the focus isn't on the outward man. Well, I preach, you know, there's some things I like to do. And I like to come home and tie one on. I like to come home and just run around. I don't want to go, I'm a preacher, I don't want this thing of church every Sunday, morning and night. That's crazy. I got things to do in my life. You know when you focus on that? You know why your spiritual man has no power? You know why the devil has a heyday kicking you around? Because you focus on the wrong vessel. Don't focus on the earthly man. Hey, you know why folks get divorced? Focusing on the earthly man. You know why there's so much sexual immorality in our world today? The earthly man is being focused on. But when I focus on the eternal man is what we cannot see. He's eternal. Lastly is this, our focus isn't on what we are, but on what we will be. Look at chapter 5, verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now listen, how did Paul, just like you and me, he was saved just like we are. He was saved and secure just like we were. He once was lost, but he got found. He once was dead, but now he's alive. He was filled with the Spirit of God, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. Paul was placed in Christ Jesus. That's his standing before God. I stand righteous in Christ. He was placed in God, kept by the power of God, and he had this treasure in an earthen vessel that was being persecuted and forsaken and knocked down and beaten and all kinds of things and perishing day by day. But the inward man was being renewed. He was strong in the Lord, victorious in the Christian life. How is it being renewed? He said this. He said, I'm not focusing on what I am right now, but what I will be one day. He said, I'm not desiring to save this man, But I'm desiring one day to see God face to face and to be like Him. You know, here's what I think sometimes hurts a Christian. We get so enamored with this life and what we are right now and who we are and what we own and our money and our possessions and our great jobs and our vacation homes and our cars that all we care about is what we are right now. That's your desire. That's our desire. I want more money, preacher. I want to be a better me. I want to live for this life. I want to live this life. And I want to gain possessions. And I want to be somebody. I want to be popular. I want to be famous. I want to do something for myself. And this man is miserable and perishing every day. But the victorious Christian says this. I want to live for God right now. But I groan. I groan to be clothed with that heavenly body. I don't care what I am right now. I don't care about this earthly body. I'm not here to make this earthly body happy or rich or famous. I desire with all my heart to be like Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes our desire gets cattywampus. Our desire is this man, this flesh, this earthen vessel. But Paul said, I'm sick of this vessel. This vessel is weak, it's fragile, and it's fickle. When I want to love God, this vessel draws me away. When I want to do right and serve God and be in church and be faithful, this vessel draws me away. When I want to love my wife and my kids with all my heart and do right by them, this vessel tempts me to be unfaithful. When I want to love my husband and be a submissive wife and be godly mom, this vessel draws me away. This vessel brings me problems. When I would desire to get along with God's people and be a good Christian and do right and not watch the wrong movies, not go to the wrong places, this vessel draws me away because this vessel is a vessel of lust. It's an earthen vessel. It cannot be saved. I'm sick of myself. But I desire the body that God has for me in heaven, that brand new body, the body. In fact, John said this in the book of 1 John chapter 3. He said this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You see, Paul, the Bible says this, not just by the epistles of John, but by the epistles of Paul and others. He said this, that one day this body is going to be dissolved. And Paul, John said this, I don't know what we shall be like, but when we see Him, we shall be like Him. You see, this person is going to get a brand new body one day that no longer desires to sin. They'll not be the desire to lie, to steal, to rebel, to disobey. No, no lust, no covetousness, no greed, because we'll be like Christ Jesus. And Paul said this, that's where my focus is at. That's what I long for. That's what I desire. Today, can I ask you a question? What's in your vessel? What's in your vessel? If your vessel does not have this, that's who you are. You're dead. You're on the way to hell. Because your vessel is just full of a dead man. Hell is your home. So I'm a pretty good person, preacher. You're still dead. Preacher, I was raised in church all my life. I went to church every Sunday. You're still dead. Preacher, I got baptized when I was a kid. I got confirmed. I got sprinkled. I got blessed. The Pope touched me. The priest touched me. The pastor prayed over me. You're still dead. And in your vessel is a dead man. And if you die today, according to the Baptist, according to the Scripture, if you die today, you'll die and you'll go to hell. Jesus Christ said this. He said, if you'll just come unto me. Amen. If you'll just believe in me, trust in me. In fact, let me read to you what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Romans 10, the Bible says this in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For if the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the God's, here's the way of salvation. The Bible says, listen, if you shall believe in your heart on Christ Jesus and confess with your mouth that God risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There must be a response from you today. You must respond to the calling of God today upon your life. Today He's opening the blindness of your eyes and pouring the light of the Scripture, the light of the Gospel, saying you must be born again. You must receive Christ as your Savior. Trust and obey. Trust Him and believe.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be saved. All of a sudden, this dead man is quickened by who? Jesus. He's placed. He's sealed until the day of redemption. He's placed in Christ. His standing now is in Christ. He's kept by the power of God in this treasure, in an earthen vessel. So when this vessel dissolves, one day he'll stand before God and he'll say this, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Without this, you'll stand before God and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. What's in your vessel?
Come on.
What's in your vessel? It can't be religion. It can't be good works. It must be the gospel. Christian today, what are you doing with your vessel? Your treasure. Say, I'm saved. In me is a great treasure. What are you doing with it? Is it being renewed day by day? Is it being helped day by day? There's no wonder today that so many Christians are defeated by sin. The devil is kicking them around because their treasure, their spiritual man, is not being renewed day by day in the gospel, in the word, in prayer, serving God. What are you doing with your vessel this morning? Father, today we thank you this morning for this illustration, this message today. Lord, I pray today that would be a firm encouragement to our eternal security of where we're at in Christ Jesus, that we are secure. That we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And one day we'll trade this body for a brand new body that cannot sin. That's like you. Now, Lord, today I ask you, Father, for two things. I'd ask, dear God, that if there'd be somebody that's not saved, that the gospel today would be plain to them as ever before in their life, that today they would receive Christ their Savior. I ask you this morning for Christians who perhaps are saved, who have this treasure in their earthen vessel, that today, that though the earthen vessel might be perished every day, their inner man might be renewed day by day. God, do your will, we pray, in your name. Let's all stand today as we stand together. The piano begins to play invitation song. Here's what I'm going to ask you this morning to do. Say, if you're here and you say, preacher, today I'm here, but if I died 2 hours ago, I am not sure where I'd be. You see, everybody has a destination, heaven or hell. Perhaps they say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died 2 hours ago, if I'd be in heaven, that I've been saved. Here's what I'd like you to do. Would you step out from where you're standing and walk down an aisle somewhere and come up to the front and say, Pastor Mass, I'd like to know how to be saved. And we'll take the Bible from God to show you how you can be saved. We're not here to make you a Baptist. We're not here today to change your denomination. But today we'd love to see you get born again. I'm not sure I'm saved. That I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Today would you come and receive Christ? Would you walk an aisle and say, Pastor Master, I want to know for sure I'm saved. Say, if that's you, would you come? Perhaps say there'd be a Christian today that said, preacher, I know I'm saved. If I die today, I know for a Bible reason that heaven's my home, but I've not been walking with Christ. My focus has been on the earthen vessel, not the eternal man. Today, would you come and say, God, help me to be renewed day by day. Help me to live for you. Help me to get sick of myself, my flesh.